Chapter 18. 2 plus 2 make 5. Winston sat alone in a corner of a cafe, where he sat every day from 15 hours. Opposite him, there was a poster of Big Brother, and on the table there was a glass of Victory Gin. When he finished it, a waiter would fill the glass again. He hated the taste of it, but he depended on it. It sent him to sleep at night, and by his bed there was a bottle of it which he drank from every morning so that he could get up. His face was fat and red, and no one ever came to sit with him. But he was a free man, and no one was interested in him. He did a meaningless job in the Ministry of Truth, working on the 11th edition of the Newspeak Dictionary. Although he did the job for only a few hours a week, he was paid more than for doing his old job. Winston's eyes were on the telescreen because he was waiting for news of the war with Eurasia. Oceania had always been at war with Eurasia. Winston felt both excited and worried about the war because there were serious problems in Africa. He was expecting bad news. A Eurasian victory would be terrible for Oceania. As he waited for the news, his finger wrote 2 plus 2 make 5 in the dust on the table, and his mind went back to his meeting with Julia. He had seen her and had spoken to her only once since they had let him leave the Ministry of Love. It was by accident in a park on a bitterly cold day in March. He saw her ahead of him and immediately realised that she had changed in some way. It seemed as if they were going to walk past each other without speaking, but he turned and walked beside her without really wanting to talk to her. She was pale, and there was a red mark across her forehead as if she had been injured. But that was not the change in her. It was when Winston put his arm around her waist that he realised what had changed. She felt thicker, and her body was stiff under her clothes. It felt as if it was a dead body. She did not seem to notice his arm around her. He did not try to kiss her. As they walked across the grass, she looked at him without speaking. It was a look of dislike. They sat down on metal chairs side by side, and at last she spoke.
"I betrayed you," she said.
"I betrayed you," he answered. She gave him another look of dislike.
"Sometimes," she said, "they say they will do something terrible to you, and then you say, 'Don't do it to me, do it to somebody else, do it to this person or that person,' and you might say afterwards that it was only a trick, and you said it just to make them stop and didn't really mean it, but that isn't true. At the time when it happens, you mean it. You think there's no other way of saving yourself, and you're ready to save yourself that way. You want it to happen to the other person. You don't care what they suffer. All you care about is yourself."
"All you care about is yourself," he repeated.
"And after that," she continued, "you don't feel the same towards the other person any longer?"
"No," he said, "you don't feel the same." There was nothing more to say. The wind blew their thin overalls against their bodies. They became embarrassed to sit in silence, and it was too cold to keep still. She said something about catching a bus and stood up to go. "We must meet again," he said.
"Yes," she said, "we must meet again."
She walked away, and soon Winston could not tell which person she was on the street. Perhaps it was no longer possible to recognise her from behind because of her thick, stiff body.
"At the time when it happens," she had said, "you mean it."
She had meant it. He had not just said it, he had meant it. He had meant that she and not he should be... The music from the telescreen changed, and Winston stopped thinking about the meeting with Julia. He picked up his glass and held it to his nose. The gin became more horrible every time he drank it. Without meaning to, Winston suddenly remembered a time when he was a boy. It was a grey, rainy day, and they were at home. He and his sister had been fed up. Then his mother had got out a board game. He played games with his mother, and they laughed and laughed. His tiny sister, who was too young to understand the game, laughed because they were laughing. For a whole afternoon, they had all been happy together. It was about a month before his mother disappeared. Suddenly, the sound of exciting military music came from the telescreen. Winston came back to the present and started watching the telescreen again. This would be the news about the war. It was going to be good news because this kind of music always announced a victory. An excited voice started speaking, but Winston could not hear it very well because people were shouting and cheering outside. He heard bits of the announcement. "A great victory. Eurasia beaten. Control of the whole of Africa. Oceania safe. 500,000 prisoners. Nearly the end of the war. The greatest victory in the history of the world." Winston looked at the poster of Big Brother. 10 minutes ago, when he was waiting for news about the war, he had still doubted what he felt about Big Brother. But he had changed. A lot had changed in him during his time in the Ministry of Love, but now the final change took place. Winston felt he was in the Ministry of Love again. He knew that he had been forgiven. He saw himself at his trial, confessing everything, betraying everybody. He could feel himself walking down a white corridor and into sunlight, a guard with a gun behind him. The bullet, which he had been waiting for, was at last entering his brain. Winston looked up at the huge face of Big Brother. 2 tears fell down his face. Everything was all right. He had won the victory over himself. He loved Big Brother. Penguin Readers, 1984, George Orwell. Level 7. Retold by Fiona McKenzie. Series Editor Sorrel Pitts. Read by Nigel Pilkington. Copyright Penguin Books Limited, 2020.